Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I am Jonathan Blevins.
I am Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And today, what?
I'm going to keep doing it. You keep giving me that look.
Saying Mrs. Ruby. I wasn't giving you a look.
You were.
See?
That's why people think we're married.
Women be shopping.
Sometimes.
My daughter is turning six, and her godmother flew in for her birthday party. This is now the second time in 2 years that we've had to move our daughter's birthday party one day because of snow. And both times, her godfather the first time and godmother the second time flew in from Dallas to spend the day with her. And it worked out that they flew in on the day the party was supposed to be, so we could just spend time with them and actually get to hang out instead of at the party. Nice. And they went to Target. And my daughter, they just let her walk around, and she walked around Target for an hour looking at stuff.
Wow.
6 years old.
Things to look at. There are things to see.
My boys would never.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, this like difference between the genders, but like, I don't need to spend money. I can just walk around and look at stuff.
It's fascinating. I personally cannot go to Target because I will go to the cooking area and I will look at all these things and be like, I need this, I need this, I need this.
Yeah. I've entered the phase of my life where I don't really want to buy things unless I really want them. When you're younger, you kind of just buy stuff because you're bored or something, but I've managed to be de-influenced from that. I'm very proud of myself.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't really.
Speaking of influence, we are going to influence people today to read a book and play a video game.
Many books, actually. Multiple books.
You could call it one book, like the Bible, a library of books.
Sure. Well, yeah, I might even go a little further on it. So, like, you know how there's that thing, was it last summer or 2 summers ago, where that whole big thing about libraries were up in arms because parents were like, do you realize what you're putting in the kids section? And there were all these books. We did a thing on the book Drama before, which has a lot of things that parents might be concerned about. There was a book called Gender Queer that was giving directions on how to engage in certain acts that parents might object to. I'm not going to get detailed there, but like, it was a very popular book that was in public libraries and sometimes in school libraries. So we went through this phase of like, and most of us are still in it, where you're like, I don't even want to take my kid to get books because it's so hard to know that like, I have to read this whole book in advance of letting my kid read it to know whether or not it's appropriate. Barnes & Noble is just like a minefield these days.
It's wild.
Absolutely.
But Green Ember, here to save the day.
Yeah.
We're doing our episode today on Green Ember, which is a big book series and amazing company, by the way. And they just created a video game as well, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, there's the whole company is called Story Warren, and it's based on stories written by S.D. Smith. The Green Ember series is 12 books. Just like a quick, very high overview. It's about two rabbit siblings, Heather and Pickett. They're living in Nick Hollow, and their mortal enemies, the wolves, have burned it down, basically, which leads them on this epic quest to go. Well, they go out into the world and realize that outside of their tiny little warren where they had been safe, there is this giant war raging between good and evil. And they stumble upon King Juniper, who inspires them to be able to like defeat tyranny and go as they go about their journey trying to rescue their family members. And this continues over the course of 12 books, but that's sort of the high arching thing. Other characters show up, including Helmer, who is the hero of the game.
Yes, the main character in the video game. Yeah. This is a cool series. You can actually go to stsmith.com. I'm just triple checking real quick.
S is in Sierra, D is in Delta, Smith the last name.
Yep, .com. And you can, they actually have a book, a free audiobook on there that you can check out. Yeah. They also have the Yodo Player MP3 series, which I just found out, which is fun. But this is a story that is written by two guys, well, S.D. Smith and a company with two guys who are working together that you and I have met.
Yes.
Multiple times. They reached out to me. I do video games kind of and stream for a living. And I partner with them and play their video game live on stream. These are two guys that are like our people.
Yeah.
You and I talk a lot about how we need to start having just really good stories that are written by Christians or Catholic Christians, whatever, that have great morals infused in them without bashing people over the head with Bible references and stuff.
And yeah, that is able to sneak into the culture in a way that works.
Yeah, and it 100% does here. They were one of, if not the largest crowdfunded video game of all time. They are just doing amazing work at trying to create incredible stories that have great virtue and morals in them. And I love that. I love anyone who's trying to do that, and 2026 is good in my book.
Yeah. And when I said at the beginning, like, it's not even just one story. Like the Green Ember series is fantastic, but S.T. Smith has multiple books actually in multiple different call them franchises. There's a couple of different series that he wrote, because he sent us copies of all of his books actually, and so I've given them to my kids, I've given them to other people as gifts, read a bunch of them with my kids, and they're all very good. There's some that are more appropriate for girls, not that girls can't read boy books or whatever, vice versa, but there's just some that are a little bit more adventure-y, some that are a little bit more jokey and funny. It's just a really good wide range of things where if you see that author's name, S.D. Smith, you can guarantee it's going to be a safe book that your kid can read. And when I say safe, I mean no sex, no drugs, no Marxism, no discouraging like parental involvement, nothing like that. It's all going to be stuff that encourages them to be brave, good people.
Yeah.
Or rabbits.
And I love when there's good people out there who are making good stuff and everything about what they're doing is excellent. I love that. So like you mentioned the merch, they sent all the books and the merch and the video game to me, and their shirts are amazing. Their mugs are amazing. Like it's just well done stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is how you get into this culture and try to have influence in it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things about this podcast is that's how they found us, is they're like, oh, you are interested in finding something that's wholesome and good for kids. Just so you know, we exist. So if you're out there making something like that, please let us know. We want to be able to tell people we're not, you know, this episode here is not paid. We're not being paid by S.T. Smith to do this, but it is something that we think that Catholic and Christian parents are going to care about, because we want you to be able to have those stories. And it was really cool to me, the way that Sam started telling these stories is the same way Tolkien started telling these stories. He sat around with his kids telling these stories and eventually wrote them down. Wow. So the same way that Tolkien wrote The Hobbit is the way that we got the Green Ember series. Is like, it was something that was entertaining to his family, and he was like, I think we have something there. So he's started doing it with his son. But like The Hobbit can be a little tough for kids to read. I know it's a kid's book, and all of my Tolkien fans out there are going to be like, it's a kid, it's fine.
My kids loved it. It was a little slow.
As a read aloud, it's fantastic. But as a read on your own for a kid under the age of 12, it's going to be a rough go. Green Ember doesn't suffer from that problem. It's books this thick, paperbacks that are, you know, they can finish on their own and get that sense of accomplishment of having finished a book. But kids these days are really interested in the series concept. Like once one book is over, they want those same characters back in a new adventure.
Yep.
And this offers them that. And you've got 12 books to go through. Like you can get through a couple different summer breaks with this one series. So
unless your kids are nerds like mine and read multiple books in a day.
That's
which
true.
They do.
But like I did as a kid, I read like Goosebumps and the Babysitter's Club books. And I was a good reader, and I still maybe only 7 a summer. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine will read all day long.
I felt like I
like
was.
All day. Like my books? Kids have read all the Harry Potters.
Oh, wow.
Like a dozen times already. That's each.
Crazy. All of them? You let them read all the way through Deathly Hallow?
No, just the four. Just the first four.
Say.
So maybe the first five. Just the first five.
That's a totally different story.
But they're just rereading it all the time. And sure, I'm like, now this comes out and they can read Green Ember. So you mentioned read aloud. I do think that Chronicles of Narnia, Lord of the Rings, and Hobbit are great read aloud with your kids. I just think in general, parents should read to their kids as often as possible. If they like, especially if your kids love it. So I'm excited. My kids have read a couple of these already on their own, but I want to read it with all of them.
Yeah.
And I think that it's interesting enough for even my 5-year-old to do it. So she did not participate in the Harry Potter read along. We stopped at 5. We're going to do 6 and 7. We're going to read this aloud. I'm excited about it. And the video game. So let's talk video game.
Yeah.
This is a Christian theme in culture and art all the time, that people who are Christian make bad stuff. It's a thing. It happens. In my opinion, that is the case for most religious movies and TV shows and you name it.
Yep.
Video games almost especially.
Notable this game, exception for Angel Studios.
Exactly. This game, and Free WTN, of course.
Right, of course.
This game is unbelievable. So I took a risk. I did a sponsored stream with them, played the entire game all the way through, took about 3 or 4 hours, did it with a buddy of mine, and was nervous. Like I didn't have time to check out the game beforehand. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what I was getting into, and it could have just been the most cheesy, awful thing. My chat would have been making fun of me the entire time for playing this game. What are you doing?
Yeah.
They must have paid you $1 million to play this.
Right.
And it was actually awesome. Like the graphics are beautiful. It's well done. The story is easy to follow. The music is probably my favorite part about it. Like it's the music the entire time is just really, really well done. And it is like a puzzle game. It's a little bit of a fighting game. You're fighting some people with your sword and bow and arrows. There's no blood. It's rated E for everyone.
Yeah.
It's a series of puzzles.
Yeah.
That which if you told a kid you're gonna play a video game and it has a series of puzzles, they would be annoyed and wouldn't try it. So you don't tell them that. You just tell them it's a really fun action game based off of this really cool book. And it is that. And the puzzles are so well done in the game that it doesn't feel like a puzzle, but it really is. Mm-hmm. And you can choose whether or not you want to fight more people or you want to be sneaky and just solve the puzzles. And the storyline throughout the entire thing is just, I mean, you're like locked in to these characters and to what's happening. You're worried about his family back home because this character, Helmer, has to go and save a bunch of different people, and he's worried about his parents. Are his parents going to live? And it's just this incredible game that flew by. What was 4 hours felt like one.
Yeah.
We beat the game, and that's two people who get paid full time to play video games. Took about 4 hours.
Yeah.
So this is a game that your kids could probably play for a dozen before, especially if they're brand new to video games. But it is so well done that I would recommend this game to a first time gamer. If you're a parent who doesn't let your kids play any games, this is a perfect game to get them for a present, to maybe watch them play or play with them. It's only one player, but you could take turns or do all kinds of different things or just sit next to each other and help, because the story is so good that it's worth just sitting and talking through. And I highly recommend. And it's even good enough where if your kid is already playing a bunch of different games, they would like this game enough. And there's a bunch of good morals and virtue built into it for them to learn.
Yeah, I backed the Kickstarter for the game, so I got a copy of it, a digital copy, as soon as it came out. Putting my money where my mouth is. And my son, Merritt, who's 11, got it, and he played it. We have a no video games on school days rule, so he can play Friday and Saturday night. That's it. Or I guess he could play all day Saturday, technically, but we usually make them leave the house. Anyway, so he's playing the game. He played, I would call it a role-playing puzzle game. Like you're being that character, kind of moving through a puzzle thing. It's kind of a little bit like old Final Fantasy, sort of.
Yeah, or like Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then some of the things you encounter are fights, and some of the things that you encounter are puzzles. And then it builds on this entire story. It's not an online game, so you don't need to worry about your kids talking to anybody or anything weird happening. All of those great morals that we were talking about are built in there. That encouragement to become somebody heroic is there.
Yep.
And Merritt played it for 2 weekends before he beat it. So, it's start and stop kind of thing. So however long you're going to let your kid play games, mine's only allowed to play Friday and Saturday, and just a little bit of time on each one. And they have one computer in the kitchen or in the living room along the, we believe in bringing back the family PC
concept. That.
Everybody shares the same computer and it's in the living room. There's lots of reasons why that's a good idea. So he had to switch off with his siblings, but 2 weekends is what it took for him to beat it at the age of 11. But what age would you say it's appropriate to start it at?
The game?
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you're ready for your kid to play a video game, I'd say 5 and up.
Okay.
It's probably a little bit too complicated for anyone under 5. And if it's the very first video game a 5-year-old's going to play, it's probably too complicated.
Yeah.
But I'd say the interest level would go all the way through 15.
Yeah.
And as soon as your kid is ready to start playing a game, I'd say, how about this? When they can read.
Yeah, I was going to say,
when
5 would be
read.
Too young to me unless they have somebody to help them. So if you're going to play along with them, 5 is fine.
Yeah.
Somebody would need to help them read and kind of maneuver things. I would put this at appropriateness, anybody is fine. But interest level, I would say probably 8 to 9 is the lowest I would go. But you're right. My 16-year-old, he's 15. He's about to be 16. Was watching over the shoulder and thought it was cool. Great graphics, great. It was a fun game.
Yeah, and again, a lot of times the Christian, even the Christian themed games where they're trying to be sneaky are just not good, and this one is great. They're also updating it. They're making some fixes. There's a couple little glitches that they're learning about, and they have a great crew, so they're fixing it all, which is great. It is out currently on Steam.
Yeah.
However,
you know that I don't know.
however, some breaking news. It will likely in the next few months be out on Switch and on mobile. And it would be the perfect if your kids only ever play mobile games, it'd be a perfect game to do on mobile.
Yeah, it's got a good mobile feel to it. Okay, so we kind of danced around this topic and we've talked about it before, but we should really have the conversation when is it okay to introduce your kids to games in general, to gaming, video gaming?
Yeah.
You're kind of the expert there. What do you think?
Well, it's funny. So it's funny. I don't talk about this often, but my brother is one of the most famous video gamers in the world.
I've never heard of him.
And
Chris?
Yes, exactly. The other brother. No, his name is Ninja. His stream is not for kids, but he's a full-time streamer and was the most popular Fortnite streamer in the world, was the first streamer to like break millions of views and all kinds of stuff. And he is a true gamer. Like, he has been gaming his whole life. He's the youngest of three. And so he was able to play longer and sooner than me and my other brother were. And he will stream all day long. And when he's done streaming, he'll play a different game on his laptop. Like, he loves games. I do full-time streaming and I would never play video games again if I did something else. Mm-hmm. Like, I like them. It's fun, but I'm not like a true gamer.
Yeah.
So it's funny because he yells at me all the time for not putting my kids on video games yet. Cause I mean, there are people out there making a lot of money, having full-time careers in competitive gaming and streaming. And he's like, you've got it in your genes, man. You like, let these kids play. And my wife and I have just been very, very, very cautious with our screen time with all the kids. We just don't like how, you know, you're at a restaurant and like people are on their iPads the entire time and they're crabby when it's time to eat. And we're like, we just don't want to be that family. And so we've maybe gone a little bit too far the other way where I play video games full time for a living and my oldest is 10 and has probably played a total of 4 hours of video games his whole life. A couple of Madden games, a couple of college football games and some Minecraft with his friends when he goes to a birthday party. So we are about ready to start letting, I think, our oldest two, our 10 and 9 year old, play some more video games. And there's a bunch, I think, that they could start with, this one being one of them. But we just haven't yet.
Yeah.
And as soon as we open Pandora's box, it's over for the rest of the family, right? They're going to like, then the daughter's going to start wanting to play a little bit. Like, it's been good to hold off for this long. But I'm glad we have, because every single time that we have play dates and our kids' friends are over, it's the only thing they talk about. I've coached flag football. I've coached basketball. And it's all the kids talk about. Did you see the new update? Did you see the new Fortnite thing? Can you believe this is going to be in Fortnite? And they don't have conversations about anything else. And so I'm like, I'm glad that my kids aren't doing that yet. But also, video games are not inherently bad. They're really good for friendships and for socialization. And so I'm not anti-games. I'm just glad that it's not taking over my kids' life yet.
Yeah,
does that answer your question? Not really.
Yeah. No, not really. I mean, it's a good answer is the thing. Is people want this like cut and dried answer of it's good on this day. It's like a driver's license. You turn 16, you get to do this thing. But that's not how it really is. Like, my kids have played video games. We never had an anti-video game situation. We were real broke and didn't own a video game system for a long time. But like, my kids have all kind of been allowed to play with their parents. Like, we view it as like, if your kid wants to play catch with you outside and you say no every single time, is exactly the same as if your kid wants to play Fortnite with you and you say no every single time. Yep. Like, you're just not playing with your kids. So we've played board games with our kids. We play card games with our kids. We play video games with our kids. Some of them, you know, like, I hate Minecraft, but I know it's a good game and they like it and they have fun together. So they play it. But like, we've always had that kind of family environment where we spend time with each other while playing games. And now my kids are 17, 15, about to be 13, 11, and 5. And they all have played some amount of games. And my oldest is like, at this time, she's about to be 18, so she wanted to start streaming Roblox. And we have a hard kibosh on Roblox in our house. Nobody's allowed to play it, but she's about to be an adult. And she's like, Mom, I want to do this. And I used to be a streamer. I work with a streamer. Like,
yep.
So we're in this weird, like, okay, have we formed you in virtue enough to let you do that? Where are we at on that? So she's started doing that, and we're like watching her streams and seeing how those things are going. And she's making good choices. She's getting offline when things are if anything turns inappropriate, although nothing has so far. But like, it's one of those things that feels really, when you have very young kids, that it's easy to just say no to everything and just, we're not doing that at all. But alternatively, now that I have kids who are nearly adults, I am glad that we walked alongside them in that process, because once they're out of your house, you can't stop them from doing something. And you want them to be well-formed in virtue so that they make good choices when they do that thing.
Yep.
So that's kind of what we're seeing. I don't love that she's doing the Roblox streaming, but she's having a good time and she's not doing anything inappropriate. And she's a good person in a place that's not generally filled with great people. And we're always talking about how Catholics need to be willing to be in the places where everyone is. So
yep.
There's that. It's a slippery slope when you're a parent and you're just trying to make good choices for your kids. But I think if you're being intentional about it and you're spending time giving them games like Green Ember that can show them the difference between a good game and a bad game.
Yep.
you can build a kid to the to be able to be the kind of person you want them to be.
Yeah. And I would say this, like, the, you know, if my kids for the last few years had been begging me all the time to play games, mm-hmm. then we may have already let them start playing more, but they just never ask.
Yeah.
Right. So like, if you're a parent, you're not just going to be like, hey, Timmy's never played football before. We should sign him up for tackle.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. That's crazy. Like, if Timmy asks you, though, if he's played football for his whole life and now he's at that age where it's time to play tackle and he wants to play, well, then you have to have the conversation of, are you going to let him play tackle? Same kind of thing, I think, with video games. Like, I don't think you should force it on your kids. But if they show interest and a lot of interest, then okay, and then it's time to start having that combo. But mine just don't.
Yeah.
Like, they, which has been awesome. A little bit more lately, but even then, like, maybe once a month, they'll be like, Can we play more video games?
Yeah.
And then you just kind of like, yeah, let's talk about it. And then they just don't bring it up again for another month. and great. So, just and it's just nice. Like, they're outside, they're playing, they're drawing, they're doing all kinds of stuff and reading. And so at some point, and I look forward, like you said, I will play games with my kids and I look forward to it. I'll play Fortnite with them eventually. I'll watch them play Minecraft because I think that's a great game for kids to play. And I think you can learn a lot. And get some creativity out.
Yeah. When I say I hate Minecraft, I mean for me.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I can't stand it. I can't stand it either. But we will talk about the movie soon in an episode. But this is a great game for your kid to play, whether they're already gamers or they're brand new.
Yeah. This particular game, the Green Ember game, Fantat Helmer and the Dragon's Lair is the name. Dragon's Lair, not Dragon Slayer. Just trust me. There's so many video games out there. It's so hard to decide what to do.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Petey. Mrs. Ruby, let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?